Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Okay, B, here we are, a day late and a dollar short, ready to present the final recap of Emily Maynard's season of The Bachelorette. Won by, of course, Jeff, spoiler alert. Tired of pretending like we need to be careful, we need to tiptoe around spoilers for a show that came out 5 years ago. Welcome to the Rosecast, the last Rosecast of 2017, probably. I'm your host, Tim Kennedy Jr., with me as always, Alex Bradford. AB, what'd you think of the finale? Did it bring back the emotions that you felt all those years ago?
I'll tell you what it brought back, Rim. The feeling of pure sorrow for Ari, my man. Oh. Felt horrible for that guy. It felt terrible. But I remember, like I've said, when I watched it real time, I was shocked by it, but going back and watching it, it's a foregone conclusion that Ari was leaving after Jeff had his date.
Jeff's date where he met Ricky and Emily's family's first impression of Jeff were the two things that really put him over the top. To me, this was how a Bachelorette season should be. You got two guys, you got proposal, you got marriage on the horizon, you got the family love in both. And you got just sheer devastation and shock that comes from the breakup. Other than getting rejected, getting on one knee and getting rejected, which I also appreciate when they do, this was about as good as you could have asked from a Bachelorette season.
Yeah, but you gotta let the guy go through the process of getting a ring and then proposing to her. You gotta get there. That's the whole part of the show.
That's a big knock. So I give the season a B+. Anyway, let's get right into it. We don't have much to. I imagine this won't be a long episode, but we do have some mailbag things we want to get to.
I got some juice, Rim.
Here's what happened too?
When I was watching. Yeah, you know when you're watching something like a documentary or something, and then you go and Wikipedia it to see what's going on. And you get down a wormhole to try to figure out anything that happened on the subject. So that's basically what happened to me as I was watching this final. I wanted to see what's going on with Emily, what's going on with Jeff, what's going on with Ari. I got a lot of stuff for us.
Don't spill the juice. Okay, good, good. And it's all confirmed juice. It's not salacious rumors that'll get us locked up.
It's not all confirmed, but the stuff that isn't confirmed isn't really slander.
All right. Good stuff. All right, let's get going. Let's get right into the episode, AB. Oh, what's that?
What do you got here?
I tell you what, the haters and losers, of which there are many, have been getting honest about using the same Saved by the Bell transition theme. And it finally bothered me to the point where I found some more. So there you go. You're welcome. See if that pleases the peanut gallery over there. We begin this episode with Emily's family. We got Mother Susie, Dad David, Brother Ernie, a.k.a. Big Ern.
I call him Aw Shucks Ernie.
Oh, shucks. You ever seen Kingpin? I'm a big Kingpin guy. That's why I call him Big Earn. I got more on Ernie later. Dad, David, looks like he's a high-ranking member at Augusta National. Are you familiar with that? Like Hootie Johnson. Let's go straight to Jeff talking with Big Earn, the brother. Ernie, AB, is an alpha male. Okay. He's got the face of a World War II hero. Like everything, all American Southern boy. And Jeff, by comparison, is a soft West Coast, left coast beta male with his skinny jeans and his flowing hair. What did you think about this little interaction, and did it go the way you expected it to?
I didn't think Jeff was going to be able to win Ernie over like he did. Ernie it turned out to be not quite as big brother, you know, protective badass. As he came off a little soft with these conversations.
Ernie seems like the type of guy who's like, you know how to deconstruct and put a gun back together, like that kind of guy. Which Jeff, as we know, would be able to, but that's the kind of like, can you do this? You can't marry my sister if you can't do this.
You know what Jeff does that really saves his ass? He flips every conversation around, even when it's a situation where he should be on the hot seat. He's asking the questions of Ernie somehow. I don't know if you noticed that. He was the one asking questions. Like, he's never actually on the hot seat. And he does the same thing to Emily. He'll be asking her questions during their one-on-ones instead of her asking him the tough questions.
Yeah, that's true.
He flips that shit on you.
That's true. He's been doing it in every interaction all season. Yeah. Even if the questions aren't good, we've roasted some of the questions, but what we should have been talking about is just the technique of that type of conversation. When you topsy-turvy it, you win the convo.
He's a mastermind of conversation.
Yes. But Ernie talking about to Jeff and about Jeff, like Emily's already picked him. Like she said, I never thought she'd find love in this situation, but I believe she has. So
you've only met the one guy, Ernie.
Yeah. The whole family just kind of acted like Jeff was the only guy they were going to meet. They were like, oh, this is it. We're going to meet potential fiance here. We all love him. Okay, you can go with Jeff. Ari had a tough act to follow.
Yeah. Yep. What'd you think about Jeff showing up with a white t-shirt to meet the family?
Not something I would have done, but they were in Curacao. I mean, wasn't the dad wearing like shorts and like a Tommy Bahama shirt?
He was wearing shorts, but I would have preferred
a
collar.
You're trying to impress. Yeah, you're trying to impress.
He's impressing them. They can wear whatever they want.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's just Jeff's style, man. That's another reason, you know, maybe I thought Earn was going to tear him to shreds. Like, Earn, I think, had the top button buttoned on a polo.
No, his shirt was tucked in. They were in Curacao. Oh, yeah. He was wearing jeans. It was probably 150 degrees out.
Yep, no doubt about it. That's just makes that even more surprising. Jeff and Emily's dad. Now, we skipped this part, but Jeff already mentioned to Emily's mom that he's ready right there to propose. Mm-hmm. Emily's mom kind of laughed that off. But I thought that was all he was going to do with the permission thing. But no, he straight up asked Emily's dad for permission. AB, were you surprised that Emily's dad, Dave, is playing so fast and loose with these permissions already? He says, well, if you want it, you got it.
I mean, by your second go around on this show, I feel like you just don't give a shit. Like, if my daughter was on two bachelors or bachelorettes, by the second one, I'd just be like, all right, let's just get, let's get all these cameras out of my house, first of all, first and foremost, and you can do whatever you want. It's not going to work anyway, so what do I care?
Lessons in parenting, maybe. That's a fair point. It was at this moment that I realized Emily's family was probably going to be the difference between her picking Jeff over Ari, excuse me.
Yeah.
Because they're all just head over heels for this guy. Live studio audience. Here's where the show kind of went off the rails for me. Maybe it's because, you know, the producer. What, you got some of this?
I'm glad you brought that up. Did you notice, like, randomly, as the show was going on, there'd be it was like there's a laugh track in the background. The first time I thought I'd heard it, but it didn't catch it. Then the second time is a full blown laugh in the background.
Very distracting.
I don't know what's going on.
Took me out of the moment. It was only during certain segments.
Yeah,
like it was only after they came back from a break with the live studio audience did it last the rest of
the
segment.
Crowd was not always involved, but occasionally they just have a laugh track in the background from the crowd. It was very weird.
Not a fan of that. It was interesting, though, to see how fans felt at the time, because it seemed very evenly split, maybe 60-40 Jeff to Ari. But it could have just been like, it also just seemed like a golf event where everybody was spectators just cheering for everybody. Like,
yeah.
They're, hey, let's hear for Jeff. Like, really loud clap. Let's hear for Ari. Same people clap. Like, I don't think they cared who won, really.
Yep.
Ari, time to meet Emily's family. And boy, he's got an impossible act to follow.
Impossible.
Emily's dad is already set on Jeff, and Ari could not possibly beat that out. Emily's dad says this, which was probably my favorite quote of the night. I'm not sure why we're going through the actions of seeing another guy today. It's almost like he was caught off guard. Like, he was like, wait, why are we seeing somebody else? Is there,
why didn't you send the other guy home?
Ari was nervous, AB. Ari was nervous. What, you got anything on kind of how he handled meeting the family? Because I thought he acted like a bum.
He fucking blew it. As smooth as Jeff was, Ari was the opposite of him. Just nervous and annoying. He was yammering on about nonsense. one of the favorite lines I had was, here, the best time to fish is when it's cloudy. That's when they bite.
That was not the best icebreaker.
No.
You know what Jeff would have done in that situation? He would have been like, hey, like, tell me more about fishing. How, yeah. What's, you know what I mean? Like, get the people
flip
involved.
It, yeah. He's
like, I read somewhere that when it's cloudy, it's good. And then they're like, yeah, dipshit. What'd you make of, this is what I meant to ask you, what'd you make of Ari bringing a box of all the dead roses?
I didn't understand. Why the fuck would the family want those roses? I don't get it, Ari.
The mom was like overjoyed by it. I didn't understand why she wanted these.
I'm so confused.
I think maybe she was just impressed that he kept them all. Like, good for you for not tossing them out. I would toss them out.
The only person that would be sentimental for would be Ari.
That's something you might want to maybe save and keep on, like, your mantle if you guys do get married. Like, I bet Sean Lowe and his wife have all the roses on
their mantle.
Yeah, sure.
But what's the family going to do with them?
Like, imagine, I'd put myself in Big Earn's situation. I'd be like, what the fuck are we supposed to do with this dumb box of roses?
That's something.
She's giving us the box.
That's something he pulls out and gives to Emily if they get engaged. Mm-hmm. You know, this is.
You know what? All right, here's the move. Here's the move. You get a little box of roses, a smaller one than he had. Put all the roses in there and then nestle the ring in when you propose.
Okay. Now you're talking.
All right. Overall, I just didn't understand why these Southerners were not wowed by the professional race car driver. Are we missing something here? They should know who this man, like, maybe because it's IndyCar and not NASCAR. Like, I can just imagine Emily's mom be like, y'all know Dale Earnhardt, the Intimidator? No? Okay, well then.
I feel like this family she was engaged to Ricky Hendricks, so they don't give a fuck about Ari. That hot, like, Ari's dad is hot shit, but Ari's not hot shit in the racing world, really.
That's true. Also, man, I feel like a dumbass for even making that joke now. Ari and Emily's mom. Ari scored some points here. He started to claw his way back into the competition. Mentions that he's dated a single mother before, which Susie appreciates. Susie, blown away, AB. Thought this would be an easy day for her, but it was not. You got anything on Ari and Emily's mom? You can say no.
No.
All right. Ari and Big Earn. Another alpha beta matchup. Ari is like Kevin Durant in that he probably can't bench 185 pounds one time. Big Ernie is throwing the whole gym around, clanging and banging. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
The Southern Rock. What do you got? What do you got,
hey,
what
listen,
do you got on
there? Here's the thing. Also, it's not gym weight. It's from fucking hard work in the fields. Yeah. He didn't get any of this from actually pumping iron. This is just fucking earned from hard work. Real life experiences.
I mean, Ernie's probably an insurance salesman. Like, Ernie's probably not that what we're making him out to be at all, but it's funny. What do you got on this interaction? Ernie's a little more skeptical.
Yeah. He says he seems very smooth and practiced, and then asks him if he's in it to win the competition. Good question, Ern.
He didn't ask that of Jeff.
No.
Put it that way.
Nope. Well, he's the hotshot racer. Jeff is a, you know.
Yeah. Entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Air quotes.
He's got a fake-ass water company.
Yeah. A tax shelter for his dad. Big Earn is a little confused after talking with Ari. Yeah. He thought Jeff was the one, then he met Ari, and he's like, okay, two good guys. Don't know what we're going to do here. moving on to Emily's dad. What do you think he did?
He gave the blessing out. Like,
instantly like, gave the blessing.
Immediately. I don't now even think Ari had to ask him.
He goes, now before we sit down, I want to go ahead and give you my blessing. anyway, basically, Ari met the family. It started poorly, ended up really well. And this was just two great guys meeting a great family.
Yeah.
That's all this was. Man, first 45 minutes of the show.
Love the families.
What do you got on Emily's talk with the family? She's 50-50 on these guys, and she needs one of them. She needs this her family to tip the scales one way or the other.
Emily seems very, like, unreasonably upset that they aren't going to give her the answer that she needs. Like, she's heated that they aren't telling her pick Ari or Jeff. Like, at the end of the day, you have to make the decision, and they can usually they don't really give you their opinion during this because you got two. Usually, you have two decent guys at the end.
Big Earn, the wise one, said, "If she can't decide between them at this point, I'm certainly in no position to do it for her."
Yeah, he ain't lying, Emily.
Shout out to Big Earn. All right, let's move forward to how about this? You guys, you fucking hating ass. That's more of an end of episode deal, but the final date with Jeff. The big thing here is Jeff, and this was great strategy by Jeff, if I do say so. Jeff really wants to meet Ricky. They don't talk about like, what was your favorite date? And it's, no. I love hanging out with you. Jeff's like, let's go. Show me the goods. Let me meet Ricky. Let me meet my future daughter.
Let's get down to the real business here. He basically demands to see Ricky.
Yeah, it was a little threatening.
And listen, it's a power move because, in my opinion, whoever meets Ricky, she's not going to let two people meet Ricky, I don't think.
No.
So whoever got to meet her first, he knew was going to win.
Ricky is the finish line.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not in the bag until Ricky comes running around the corner with her arms open.
Mm-hmm.
Emily, even though she did let Jeff meet Ricky, when she agreed to let Jeff meet Ricky, to me, it was over.
I agree.
At that point. But she said something that caught me by surprise. She said, if this meeting, well, not caught me by surprise, but I didn't fucking buy it. She said, if this meeting doesn't go well, it would absolutely be the end of my relationship with Jeff. Mm. I don't buy that at AB. Let's say the meeting doesn't go well. Would you then accept a proposal 2 days later from another guy only to have him come around and meet Ricky? And then it's like final, like, oops, you didn't like the last guy, so this is your new daddy now? I don't think so. I think Jeff is winning regardless.
Here's the other thing. You got these guys here. How is the meeting going to go bad? The only way that the meeting would go actually bad would be if the kid's being a shithead, which isn't the guy's fault, you know? So really, it's not going to go bad.
Yeah. The meeting of how old is Ricky? 5, 6? Meeting a 6-year-old, if you're a stranger, is kind of like meeting a dog.
Yeah.
Like, the adult's going to be fine. Either the dog's going to act up or not. Like, that's pretty much what it comes down to.
Exactly. Like, Jeff didn't do anything crazy kid friendly. He did a good job with her, but she was just a well behaved kid, though.
Basic stuff. Give me a high five.
Yeah.
Ricky won it over for Jeff. That didn't come out right. But like when Ricky was like, hey, let's hang out in the pool.
Yeah.
When Ricky was going out of her way to be nice to Jeff, that's all he had to do. I mean, it was easy breezy for him from there.
That being said, very cute moments here in the pool with Jeff and Ricky. They had crazy chemistry.
I also noticed, I'm pretty sure Ricky just plays around in these swimming pools all day all over the world. And her tutor just sits by the pool and reads a magazine. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, her tutor's not doing shit. And then was probably caught off guard when Emily shows up. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. We're just doing some spelling exercises. Ricky, how do you spell pool? Emily says, there's no question in my mind that Jeff would be the best dad and the best husband. Okay.
Shut this shit down.
If I'm understanding the definition of the word best correctly, then no one could be better. So Ari's not going to win. No. Basically, the only thing keeping Ari here at this point is his kissing ability. That's the only reason why this show is still happening.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of the events of her life, it always brings me joy. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth will email your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. There's a wide variety to choose from. Some of my favorites are, do you have any keepsakes or heirlooms from your grandparents? And what's the furthest you've ever traveled? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Then you'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's responses as they're submitted over the course of the year. Take it from me, you'll love their retelling of the stories you already know, and you'll be surprised by stories you've never heard before. After 12 months of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for decades to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. Our family keeps these gorgeous Storyworth books always within reach in the living room. They're great to read through whenever we're together, and I know they'll be passed down through the generations. Believe me, I'm not the only one who loves Storyworth. There are more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of family stories preserved since the company was founded more than 10 years ago. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/rosecast. That's storyworth.com/rosecast to save $10 on your first purchase.
You got anything on their nighttime date?
No. I mean,
Me neither.
I blacked it out because I knew shit was curtains.
Yeah, it was curtains. Just a couple of lovebirds hanging out, enjoying one another's company. That's all it was. After the date, Emily meets with Chris, AB. In between dates with Ari and Jeff, you know this can't be good.
She cannot be good.
She says, I know Jeff is the one. And our man Chris Harrison, I don't like calling him Chris without the Harrison. It's confusing to me. Chris Harrison is elated. That's why Chris does this, AB, so people can find love.
Do you think he was elated, or was he just putting on for the camera? Because I gotta imagine deep down inside he's pissed that it's not going to be as much of a cliffhanger at the end. That's what this show's about, and Chris Harrison is the Bachelor franchise.
I choose to believe that Chris Harrison has a heart of gold.
Okay.
And while I know in my brain that can't possibly be true, but in my heart, in my soul, that's what I want him to be.
It's probably better to live that way.
When I watch a show, I want to suspend disbelief, AB. I don't want to bring real world into this fake world. All right, let's talk about the Ari date.
Oh, God.
Or lack thereof. First thing I want to mention, this kindly old lady with the herb garden. That shit's a scam, all right? Love potions. You can't make love potions. There's no such thing as love potions. This lady is scamming villagers in Curacao out of their hard-earned money, and she should be locked up for it. There's got to be some antitrust lawsuits, some consumer advocacy groups in Curacao that we can get on her ass. Smoke this lady out of Curacao. All right, you got anything on this date?
A brilliant move by the producers making Ari, because you know Emily and Ari were going to make this love potion together, right? But instead, they had Ari go ahead, make the love potion. It's just brilliant move by the producers, folks. This is why they give them the big money.
he had to know something was up when he showed up. And
she's
he
not
made
there.
He had a date with an old lady.
Every single date before that, you show up and she's there. And then this date, the final date, you show up and she's not there. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Nothing good can happen if she's late.
I would have fucking knocked the table with all the love potions over and left before she got there.
All right. Emily pulls up, though, in the big rosé Tahoe, not smiling at all.
Seemed like a funeral procession, Rim.
Yeah, it was bad. This is tough. Yeah, they had like six cars pull up, like a whole...
All black. Escalades.
Funeral procession, or like the FBI is coming to get Ari. I had some issues with the way Emily handled this, AB. Ari has his homemade love potion that he made at camp, okay? Day camp, summer camp. And he's telling it all about it to Emily, and Emily's like, oh, that's so great. You did such a good job. And then she's letting him rub the potion on his... If she's going to do this, you got to do it. You got to say, stop. Don't rub me down with love potion.
Rip the goddamn Band-Aid off him, Emily.
Yeah.
He goes, check it out. I made this love potion for you. Poor guy. That being said, Rim... Ari needs to read the room. Emily wasn't. Emily walked out of the bus crying.
Yeah. On top of the fact that she was late.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was pretty clear what was about to happen. When they sit down, Emily goes, can we talk for a second? Again, read the room. This is your third red flag that something bad is about to happen.
Pick up on some clues here.
They sit down and Emily starts bawling her eyes out. And he's acting like, oh my gosh, is your mom sick? Like, no.
No, bud, you're fucking going home. It's clear.
It's clear. Emily doesn't say much, though, and Ari really isn't trying to hear it. I thought, other than the Ari misreading the room, I thought this was a really sad breakup, maybe.
Yeah.
An interesting, speaking of the producers, they didn't play a lot of music. They just kind of let the emotions hang there, the silence hang.
Ari was completely stunned and immediately pissed. But I thought he handled it like a gentleman. He's wanted to get the hell out of there, and she kept trying to like get him to stay for some reason.
I liked the way Ari handled it because it seemed like a way a real person might handle it. Mm-hmm. Not like, it's not, you know, we lauded Sean Lowe for handling his breakup well, but he also, it was clear he did it with an eye on being the next Bachelor.
Yeah.
Ari was just... Like you said, he was just pissed, and he just wanted to, like, what are we doing here, right? You broke up with me, can I let
over.
Me go?
It's over. Can I leave now, please?
All right, Emily and Jeff, time for this proposal. Let's fly through this fairy tale love story, AB. Mm-hmm. And it was just that. No matter what happened after, this was a fairy tale love story that played out on television. Emily tells Jeff that she didn't even go on a date with Ari. Ari's off the island, and that Jeff is the only guy who got to meet Ricky.
Here's my question for you, Rim. You think if Ari got that first date, do you think he would have met Ricky and won? Do you think just whoever had that first date was going to win? Because they were going to meet Ricky, it was going to go well, and then they were going to win.
Yes. But that didn't happen because Jeff played the game. Jeff put the pressure to meet Ricky, which Ari would not have done. Ari was a little too deferential in that. But if you flip the scripts, I think yes. Jeff gave a great speech, in my opinion. It was long, and he memorized it all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to fill us in on some juice here in a couple minutes, but this was a nice line that turned out to be false. It says, I want you to know that what I'm about to ask you aren't just empty words. That in a few weeks or a few years or even a few decades won't be lost. Yeah. What I'm about to ask you is a forever thing. Fairy tale stuff, AB.
I couldn't even watch this really, Rim. I was too mad.
Why?
That this couple didn't make it. They seemed so perfect during this episode. And then I started reading the Wikipedia and the online stuff, and I just couldn't even, I couldn't even, I was talking to my TV like, yeah, okay. Okay, Jeff.
She's got to say yes regardless because of that ring, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that happened afterwards aside, what did you think of this season compared to others?
I thought it was a good season. Emily did a good job as the Bachelorette, and she had a lot of good options. Like, Jeff, Sean, and Ari are great contestants for this show. And then she had a couple villains. You had Kaylin in there that everyone hated. You had Ryan, who we loved, but everyone else hated. It was a good season.
I thought so, too. What more could you ask for?
It was a... I'll tell you what else it was. It was a tasteful season.
Yes.
It wasn't as raunchy as the current seasons. Like, Nick Vial's season, that was slimy. Felt slimy watching it. This one felt good.
I watched Going in Style last night. You know what movie I'm talking about?
No.
Rim and AB are big fans of really old guy. Really, movies that have super old guys doing young guy stuff, like Last Vegas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Going in Style is Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, and Alan Arkin rob a bank. Okay?
Yep, I'm into that.
It's not bad.
I know
it's
what you're talking about.
But it was funny. It came out, I think, this year, and there was one scene where the three of them were, these old fucks, you know, they're all like... you know, their pensions are gone and like their company's going out of business. They don't have any money and they're watching The Bachelorette. And they're watching, there's a scene where the three of them are in like recliners watching whatever I think it was Caitlin Bristow's season. Mm. And they were talking about Nick Vial and one of them called Nick a man whore.
Oh,
that was funny. So even Morgan Freeman doesn't like Nick Vial. But you're right. This was there's not much to hate about this season. All the shitty guys have been gone for a while. It ended great. I liked it. I'm glad we did it. All right, AB, do you want to move on to the juice?
I would love to. Do you want...
Let's hear it.
I got just a couple things about... Emily wrote a tell-all, for one, ooh, like a year ago. And it had some interesting bachelorette stuff. This isn't really the juicy stuff. This is just... I just jotted down interesting stuff I saw during my research. Number one, group dates, Rim. Those things last forever. Emily says they would start at 9 and go well past midnight.
Jeez.
Understand that? That's a fucking 15-hour date. 15 hours. So when these guys are acting like they don't want to go on the group dates, it makes a little more sense to me now.
Yep.
Emily met her current husband prior to being the Bachelorette.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. But the timing wasn't right. She met him at her church, but she was already going to be the Bachelorette, so they didn't go on any dates or anything, but they made it clear if stuff didn't work out, they're going to try. So... Emily always had, you know, an ace up her sleeve. She had a fallback this entire season.
So, of course, she wants that ring. Yeah.
Yep. Emily knew that this was a mistake accepting the proposal almost immediately, Rim. She said when she saw her daughter, Ricky, running out, she realized she had made a big mistake.
Did she elaborate on that at all?
She said she was freaking out about how her relationship with Jeff was going to work, how he would fit into Ricky's life, if he was, in fact, ready to be a step-parent.
Hmm. One thing I noticed, now that you mentioned this, I forgot to write it down. While they were hugging and kissing after their proposal, she whispered, like she didn't want anything to hear, she goes, "We'll make this work."
Yeah, right.
Like, of course you're going to make it work. You guys are engaged. What do you mean? That doesn't need to be said.
About?
We'll figure this shit out.
Right now, everything's perfect. What do you mean?
Yeah, what are your issues at the moment? All right, anything else?
Yeah, of course. I got lots more. All right. just a couple tidbits. Did you know this, Rim? Emily, after her season, dated Jeremy Shockey, NFL star, bad boy of the NFL.
Whoa.
And get this, Rim, NASCAR driver Dale Earnhardt Jr.
What?
Yep. Wow. Famous high profile exes right there.
High profile exes.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. Whoa.
Dude, if there are situations where she's just ticking down the list, I bet Jeremy Shockey was on the Panthers or something at that. She's just ticking down the list.
He was on the Carolina Panthers.
She's just ticking down the list of Carolina, North Carolina's finest.
Yep.
She probably would have dated Roy Williams or Stephen Curry if he were single.
Did you say Roy Williams?
Yeah. 72 years old.
Another interesting tidbit. Ari Lewandowski, our next bachelor, won a bronze in the X Games. Did you
what?
Know that?
For what sport?
Something called gunk trucks racing. A gunk truck, G-U-N-K truck. At the X Games, he won a bronze medal.
I'll have to check that out. I got a take on the X Games. Pump the brakes with the X Games. They're every year. They're like every 6 months because there's winter and summer.
They happen so often.
There's been more X Games medals given out in the history of the world than there have been Olympic medals, I would venture to guess. Enough with the X Games.
I hear
you. And also be more extreme. They're not extreme enough. That's my opinion on the X Games.
Okay, good take. The last thing, Jeff and Ari became good friends after the show. A lot of dirt out there. Terrible dirt about Jeff and Ari.
Unproven
friendship.
Dirt.
Unproven. I won't dig into that. But one thing is proven, Rim. Jeff and Ari had a falling out. After Ari became the bachelor, Jeff tweeted, he stopped being friends with Ari years ago because he's disgusting.
Got a major issue with that. The rumors that you're discussing cropped up on the Bachelor Reddit after Ari was announced as the Bachelor. Literally, a person on the internet.
No, this is coming straight from Jeff.
I'll tie it back.
Okay.
The rumors that you referenced earlier started with a person on the internet writing a post on an anonymous message board, essentially, saying so they knew somebody who knew somebody who heard these stories about these two guys.
I know what
and
it
then
was,
it stayed Rim. Up forever.
It was their cousin's friend is the association
Perfect.
On
their
this
cousin's
Reddit
friend.
Post.
It was allowed to fester for weeks, maybe even months at a time. Now, a lot of people who listen to us probably believe that stuff or have heard other stuff about Ari and for whatever reason are going to sit out that season. Do your own thing. But I'm saying the evidence against Ari and Jeff as like criminals is so thin that it's not even funny. And Reality Steve, whom we do not fuck with in the least,
not anymore.
fanned these flames. And he's a guy who is happy to do that. People say Reality Steve always gets the next Bachelor right, or the final. He doesn't. He gets it wrong, and he only knows when somebody direct in the show tells him. He's not some fucking investigative reporter. And last but not least, Jeff tweeting that, like you said, he said, oh, he became disgusting. Well, Jeff, if you got something to say, then come out and say it, buddy, because if you got allegations to levy against this man, or if you just want to play a little bit in the mud and get people on your side, pick a side here, buddy. And if you're going to say this man's disgusting, I need you to elaborate on that or step aside and let us enjoy this next season.
That's
my take on this.
Well said. Now we're on a little lighter note, Rim.
Sorry about that.
A little lighter note. Did you hear this? Speaking of Jeff, he has a couple bachelor roommates. There's basically a bachelor like him, Robbie from Joe. Whose season was he on?
JoJo's.
And then the Bachelor in Paradise. And then Chase, also from JoJo's season, all share a bachelor pet. They're roommates.
Now, I'm on a high from liking Jeff after this season, but if he's bunking with those two guys.
Yeah, he is. They're staying at his house.
That's not a good crew.
Yep.
That's a whack, very whack crew.
I found it very funny that Jeff, Robbie, and Chase are roommates.
Not the best crew. Not the best guys. From what I've read, Jeff was a good guy before going on this show, by all accounts. Went on this show, got caught up in the salaciousness of some of the stuff going on in Bachelor Nation.
Sure.
And is a scumbag now.
Yeah.
Anyway, other than that, good season. All right, AB, any other juice? That's great juice.
No, that's all I got.
Hey, let's move on quickly to the mailbag. Well, we're kind of running out of time here, so let's. One, I want to shout out a couple people. Josie in Brooklyn via North Carolina basically just binged our recaps this week, it sounds like, and she gave me her thoughts on like the whole season. So I'm not going to run down her thoughts from the whole season, but Josie, thank you for listening. Matt from North Jersey, AB, I don't know if you saw this one. Very kind notes, which we appreciate. We don't often hear from dudes, so shout out to Matt. Matt did mention that we talk about using the Undertaker gong when people get eliminated, but then we don't actually use it. Matt, just want to tell you, on our other podcast, listeners of the Rimcast will know that we used to do that for actual people who died, and then it got real insensitive.
It was very insensitive. It crossed a line often.
Yeah, so maybe we'll put this back in post, but that's why we talk about the gong without putting in the gong.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, AB, you want to mention?
I don't think so. We're coming up to the next new season here.
Speaking of that, I tweeted this out the other day from the Twitter, Rosecast ES. We want to know, especially in light of Rim's rant just now, if you're excited for Ari, let us know why. If you're not going to watch, or if you're going to watch and you're not excited for Ari, whatever your situation, we also want to know why. And also maybe some questions and comments about his new cast. Tell us either way. The text number is 773-234-7794. I'd be very interested to hear why people don't like Ari for reasons other than the rumors we've mentioned. Let us know. We want to know either way. We're open-minded guys.
Honestly, I can't think of a bachelor that I've been more excited for, a bachelor. I guess who have we done this show for? Just Nick? Has there been anyone before him?
We did Ben on the regular.
Oh, Ben. Yeah. Ben was great. I love
Ben. Were you excited for Ben?
No, I wasn't, because I didn't know anything about him before we watched it. So, yeah, this is the since Sean Lowe, this is the most excited I've been. I'm very happy they chose Ari over Peter, or whatever that situation was, you know?
Well, maybe we'll go more into this on if we do a season preview episode sometime after Christmas. But Peter, we like Peter a lot. There's no doubt in my mind that he would have been more boring than Ari. Yeah. I'm sorry. I know the fans love Peter and think he's the hottest guy alive and think he's infallible, but he would have been less entertaining, period.
Yeah. Facts are facts.
Anyway, also on Instagram, Rosecast Podcast, and Facebook, Rosecast Podcast. Thank you for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, all that stuff, Overcast. And AB, is there a special going on this month? It's been a while since we had a little holiday special.
It's the holiday special, Rim.
Tell us the details.
You got to tell a friend to subscribe yourself, and then they need to also tell another friend. So this is it's a three chain, Rim, this holiday season.
Bonus, you get bonus points, bonus Rim and AB bucks if you share with your mothers. If you share with your mothers, that's a bonus point.
Oh, forgot about the mother thing. Yep.
Yeah, they spread like wildfire. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for going on this journey with us. We appreciate it. And we'll see you next year. Because it's the end of the year.
Probably not. We'll do a recap. See you next week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.